Good morning. Notices today. Would all society treasurers please balance the books and hand them in to either Neil or Dave for auditing? This has got to be done within the next month. So if you could hand them in within the next couple of weeks so that they can get down to it and do it. Nothing else until Friday this week. The church cafe will be on at 10 o'clock in the church hall, and the craft group will also meet at 10 o'clock in the Jubilee. Next Sunday, the services will be taken by Tony and Owena Finch, and this includes communion, and three people will be received into membership as well at that service. Worship Warriors will also meet next week, 11 o'clock in the Jubilee. And we've had a notice from Orsley Park Evangelical Church. And this is Terry Osborne's church, and it's sent from Alan Blatchford, who preached here a few weeks ago. It's the 11th of November. The title is Walk Through the Bible, New Testament. It's a live event. Not live in Bible times, but live when they conduct it. It's the 11th of November, starting 10 o'clock till 4:30. Registration for this will be at 9:30, and it's £14 per person, and it's going on for five one-hour lessons over the following Saturdays. Anyone that wants to go to that, if they could speak to Dave about it, please. Also, with the funeral on Friday, we've had a card from the gentleman whose wife, Chris Sefton, whose wife passed away. And it says, "Hi, everybody at Oldman's Green Church. I'd like to thanks for the work done in the church that's been put together, and the musical at the funeral, and also for John Patterson, the vicar, who made everything at the church feel like they..." It's all right, I can't read it. had a good time. And they'd like to thank everybody in the church that made this possible. Thank you. And I'll like to welcome Gareth and ask him if he can conduct our worship now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, good morning, everybody. It's great to be back with you here at Alderman's Green. It's been a while since I was here. It was the springtime when I was here last. But we've gathered together today to worship our God. And let me just start our service with a reading from his word. Psalm 145, a song of God's majesty and love. That's what we're going to focus on this morning, that our God is faithful, that he's a promise keeper. "I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all the generations." So with those words ringing in our heads, shall we stand and sing our first hymn together, "All Creatures of Our God and King"? Well, we have much to praise God about and for, don't we? And in fact, today, I've been told, is your church anniversary. 165 years this church has had a presence in this area of Coventry. And that is some achievement, isn't it? By God's grace, there has been a gospel ministry here. And I think we should just thank God for that. And thank God for the people that over the generations have served him faithfully and witness to this community. So let's come before our Heavenly Father now in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we are gathered together here in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are able to gather together without any fear, without any persecution. And Father, we come here today as your people to gather around your word, to hear what you have to say to us. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit might work amongst us, Lord. Lord, that you would open our ears and our eyes, Lord, that we might see the wondrous works of God our Saviour. Father, that we might rejoice in who you are. Lord, that we might remember what you have done. And Lord, when we think that you have been here with your people in this church for 165 years, Lord, that is a wonderful thing to celebrate. And Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for your faithfulness and for the faithfulness of the folk here who have worshipped over many generations. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless this place. Lord, that you would enable them to continue to be a witness, a gospel light in this community. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen them. Father, we think of those who are away on holiday this half term. Father, we ask that you would just bless them and renew them. May they have a time of rest and peace. And Lord, we would ask that you would bring them home again next Sunday. Lord, that they would gather again as your people in this place. Father, we also bring before you those members and people who attend, Lord, who are unwell, who may be at home and unable to join us, or who may be in hospital. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would draw close to them this morning. And Lord, that you would stretch out your healing hand. And Lord, that you would strengthen weak bodies. And Lord, that you would restore people to full health. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can sing praises to you, that we have much to say in thankfulness. Lord, we ask, Lord, that as we turn to your word shortly, oh, Lord, that you would open our eyes to what you have to say. Father, that you would fill me afresh, Lord, and equip me to faithfully preach your word. And Father, I would ask that as we go from this place this morning, that each of us might be able to say, yes, we have seen something of Jesus. We have heard God speak through his word. And Lord, that we might rejoice. Lord, that we might have a spring in our step as we enter a new week, that we might take with us the good news of the gospel of Christ Jesus, which this world so desperately needs to hear. So equip us, Lord, bless us, and just help us, Lord, as we seek to serve you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. We're going to stand again and sing in a moment, and we're going to sing number 37, Be Bold, Be Strong. Now, I am reliably informed there are some good actions to this song. I'm not going to ask you to do them, but if you need to warm up a little bit, maybe you would like to do them, so there's no pressure. But this song, Be Bold, Be Strong, really speaks very clearly about what we're going to read shortly from Joshua chapter 1. So that's the reason I've chosen it this morning, but it's also a wonderful song of worship. So let's stand up and sing. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you.
Thank you.
Our God is with us always. Right, we're going to have our first reading. We've got a couple of readings this morning. Yolanda's going to come and read to us from Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and she's going to read chapters 10. No, she's not. She's going to read verse 10. That would be a struggle to find chapter 10. Ephesians 6, 10 through to 20.
Okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with you, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, next week you've got another far more accomplished double act coming, I think, Tony and Owenna. Tony was our pastor for many years at Lawrence Saunders Road Baptist Church. And in fact, I bumped into them both in Earlsdon on Friday. So I was telling them I was coming here and sort of preparing the way for them. So I'm sure you'll be blessed by their ministry next week. We're going to sing again and we're going to take up our offering as we do so. And it's number 483, Restore, O Lord. Was another verse.
of sovereign power, come shake the earth.
Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. Lord, for the provision of jobs and pensions. And Father, as we come now with these gifts and offerings to you, Lord, we thank you for them. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless them and that you would bless those who administer them. Lord, that they might be put to good use for the furtherance of your kingdom. Amen. Right, we're going to turn to our Bibles again before we pray once more, before we come to the sermon. I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, I'm just going to read the first 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that it is written, that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. What a wonderful commandment and promise that that is. Let's just come to the Lord in prayer just before we turn to his word. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you have seen fit to give us so much of what is in your heart. Father, we thank you that as we read through the pages of Scripture, we can see this great story of redemption unfolding before our very eyes. And Father, as we turn to this Old Testament passage this morning, Lord, I pray that we would not just see an historical account, Lord, but we would see your hand at work. Lord, that we would see Jesus and the story of redemption unfolding as you led your people out of slavery and into the promised land. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit, Lord, that we might be able to take away eternal promises that we see in this passage that would stir our hearts, Lord. Lord, that would re-energize our faith, and that would make us bold and courageous and strong. For your gospel's sake, we ask. Amen. Right, the sermon this morning is entitled, if you hadn't already guessed, Be Strong and Courageous. And Do Not Be Afraid or Dismayed. Now, I don't know whether you remember, the last time I was here in April, I'll forgive you if you don't remember, it was a long time ago, I spoke on the first 15 verses in Mark's Gospel, which was telling a story of how the Saviour came to the earth, how the kingdom of God had come in the form of Jesus Christ. And we know, don't we, that that was and is a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom which includes not only Jews but Gentiles. It is a kingdom which is everlasting. But this morning I want to turn the clock back, not just the hour that we had last night, which was wonderful, an extra hour in bed, but I want to turn the clock back many, many thousands of years, back to this story that we read in those nine verses from the book of Joshua this morning. The book written by the man, Joshua. And it's interesting because his name means Yahweh is salvation. God, the Lord God, is our salvation. And I don't know whether you know, but the Greek equivalent of Joshua's name is Jesus. So here in the Old Testament, sometimes as I prayed then, we might just think we are reading an historical account of the people of Israel and how they entered the Promised Land. But actually, you know, in many characters in the Old Testament, Joshua included, we have types and pictures and foreshadows of things pointing us to Jesus. And that's the whole point of the Old Testament. It's a story of redemption. Right from creation and the fall, God has a plan, and he's unveiling it through the Israelites, through the blessings that he brings to them. And he's bringing us, of course, to that wonderful point in time, the pivotal point in time, when, as we saw last time, Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, is born. So what's the story so far? I've already told you that the focus this morning is going to be on the command that we're given in this passage and also the promise. But the story thus far, where we've got to, if you like, in Joshua chapter 1, is quite evident for us, isn't it? It's we're told that in verse 1. Moses had died. This great servant of God had passed away. The rescue mission that God had put in place to take the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt was already well underway. But we know, don't we, if you flick back through the pages of Scripture up to this point, we know that Israel often failed, didn't they? It's amazing when you think about it. You look back and you think, how could they not understand and just stand in awe about who God is? He parted the Red Sea for them. But sadly, we know that they, like us, were a people who quite easily forgot and turned their back on God. They grumbled, they disobeyed. And God had brought them, if you remember the story, within a whisker of going into the Promised Land. He had taken them through the wilderness, and they were there, ready to enter. And in Numbers 13, Moses says this. He says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and go up into the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land back.'" So this is Moses. He's sending the 12 spies. You know the story, I'm sure. And he's telling them, be of good courage. Go into the land. Sadly, we know the outcome of that expedition, don't we? 10 of the spies came back full of woes, full of fear, full of doubts. And as they relayed their story of woe to the people, what did the people do? The people listened, didn't they? They listened to the bad news. I don't know what it is with human nature, but we have this insane need to listen to bad news. Just watch the news every night. I know there are terrible things going on in the world at the minute in the Middle East. But the focus so often and the interest in people is aroused when things go terribly wrong. So the people of Israel listened to these 10 spies. And in Numbers 14, we read again, and we're told that all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had died in the wilderness." What a terrible lack of faith. They had no confidence in their God. And yet contrast to that to the two other spies. Now, Caleb was one and Joshua was the other. And they said, "Look, people, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land. He will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." My point here is that, you know, we'd already seen Joshua as a man who was strong and courageous, as a man who trusted God. And now, in Joshua chapter 1, God was calling him and commissioning him to lead this new generation into the promised land. And thankfully, they were ready, at long last. You know, it's a wonderful story, this book of Joshua. It's the culmination of Israel's journey to the promised land. And in this book of Joshua, we see God fulfill his promise. The promise that he made way, way back in Genesis to Abraham. Now, we may read this and think, well, what relevance does this have to us? Joshua, none of us are Joshuas. There are some leaders in this church, so it's pertinent. But we as God's people are not preparing to cross a river. We're not preparing to fight an enemy. But nevertheless, I believe we have challenges and battles to face in our spiritual lives, don't we? God was preparing Joshua and his people for battles. And I believe that his word for us today is that we too need to prepare for battles. Just like Joshua and the people of Israel, we need to be strong, full of courage, and not be afraid or dismayed. You know, Isaiah, God made in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, God made a similar command, a similar reminder went out to his people. And he said this, he said, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And Paul to the Corinthian church said this. He said, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave and be strong." You see, Israel had come to a point in time when they needed to move forward in faith, trusting. And they needed to be strong. They needed to be full of courage. And they were not to be afraid or dismayed. It's easier said than done, isn't it, oftentimes? But God, you see, was not sugarcoating the situation for them. They were going to face tremendous battles and difficulties and great opposition. But their reward was amazing. A land flowing with milk and honey. But it needed to be taken. It required effort. It required faith and trust. And the people needed to be obedient and listen to him. Now, it's no secret that as Christians, we also face opposition, don't we? Jesus warned us of these things. But here, the Lord is saying is giving to Joshua an eternal promise, which is God has made to his people throughout the ages. If we trust him, and if we are in Jesus Christ this morning, if we are believers, then we can hold fast to this promise because he is always with us. But we need to be obedient and we need to listen to what God is telling all of us through the word. That is the only way we are going to be strong. That's the only way we're going to be full of courage and not be fearful or be dismayed. So this morning I want us just to briefly focus on this command and the promise that is given to us in these verses. The commandment is clear for all to see. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. But that command is in two parts. I don't know whether you've noticed. There's a the first part is positive. It's telling us to do something. And it's repeated for us in verses 6, 7 and 9. And that is, be strong and courageous. Do something. The second part is negative, if you like. It's saying, don't do this. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. And that's in verse 9. So what does it mean to be strong and full of courage? How are we to be strong? Is God telling Joshua and telling us to muster up all our physical strength, to go to the gym every day and be as physically fit as we possibly can, and to be as mentally strong as we can? Is this all about our own effort? Well, thankfully not, because I know what would happen if it was down to my effort. I would falter and fall, and I'm sure most of us would as well. You know, Ephesians 6, as Yolanda read earlier, there's a real key in there for us to grasp hold of. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong, not in your own strength, in your own ability, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So this morning we need to grasp that our strength is from God. We are called, yes, as Yolanda read, to put on the whole armour of God. We always have something to do. We have to be obedient. But our very strength comes from the Lord, if we are a believer. Now contrast that to the unbeliever. Proverbs 28 tells us that the wicked flee when no one pursues them. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Joshua, just like the psalmist, needed to look up and see where his strength came from, to recognize that his strength and our strength comes from the Lord of heaven and earth. But Joshua's been called to be more than strong, isn't he? He's been told to become, to also be full of courage. Now, you know, we can talk ourselves up in the security of our home, can't we? Oh, I'm feeling strong in the Lord today. I really am. But at some point, we've got to open that front door and we've got to actually display that courage, that strength. Sorry, we've got to go out and be courageous. We're called to be warriors. Joshua, as a warrior, knew exactly what he was being asked to do here when God said, be strong and courageous. It only meant one thing. There was a battle to come. And in the case of Joshua and the Israelites, many battles to come. So to be strong is great, but we've got to put that into action. We've got to be courageous. We've got to put it to good use. We've got to move forward. Just like Israel had to move forward and cross that Jordan River to battle with the people in Canaan. So we are called to put on the whole armour of God every day and do battle. You know, Israel had been slaves in Egypt for some 430 years. That's an awful long time, isn't it? And they'd spent 40 years in the wilderness chasing their tails because they'd been disobedient to God. But now they were ready. Now they were ready. Rather than to go round and around and around, they were going forward with a purpose. And as Christians, we must always be moving forward in Christ. Our walk is not static. It wouldn't be a walk. Our Egypt, if you like, our period of slavery, is when we were slaves to sin, before that day when the light of the gospel came into our hearts and freed us. But we all have wilderness times, don't we? There are times when we are not walking as we should with the Lord, when we turn our back on him. But you know, sooner or later, as children of God, we must come back. We must repent. We must walk into the fullness of God's blessing. Now, for Israel, we know what lay ahead for them. It was a land and all the blessings that that brought. And as believers today, we're not promised a land. We're not even promised material possessions. But there is a wonderful promise here of God's blessings. And this command that we read about to be strong and courageous should be like a banner which is permanently above us, shouldn't it? That we constantly need to remind ourselves of what we are called to be. not to be ashamed of the truth. And that's what Paul in Timothy wrote to his son in the faith. He said this, he said, look, Timothy, remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So here is Joshua, here are Israel, on the verge of something great. They are there at the banks of the River Jordan. Now, if you scoot forward and you read into chapter 3, you get a little bit of an insight as to what they were facing, because we're told that it was harvest time. And at harvest time, the River Jordan was overflowing its banks. It was a mighty river in full flood. It was no little stream. So this was the first hurdle that they had to cross. Now, I'm sure they would have remembered the stories of what had happened at the Red Sea. They would have known what God did there. But now they needed a fresh expression of God's might and power. You know, as soon as, we're told, the priests who were carrying the ark, as soon as they dipped their toes in the river, it just stood up and stopped. Can you just imagine it for one moment? A river in full flood just stopping and dry land appearing. And they walked across on dry land. What a mighty act of God that is. Now, you know, we need to remember, I think, sometimes that we serve the same God. His power has not diminished over time. He may not need to stop a river or part a sea to help us in our walk with him, but he is able to do all things because he is a sovereign God. He is a creator God who has made everything, who controls everything by his sovereign will. So what are we to be called? What are we to do as Christians? How are we to be strong? What does that look like? Well, in verse 7, we're told this. We're told, only be strong and very courageous. Now, that doesn't mean just be strong and be nothing else. That's what God is saying there is, be particularly strong at this moment in time. That's your focus. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. You know, there are many parallels between the book of Joshua and Deuteronomy, the previous book. And they both outline the nature of the covenant between Israel and God. And it was a covenant, a relationship that was contingent upon Israel's obedience. They needed to read God's word and do it. They were commanded not to turn away from it, not to deviate from it, even slightly. That was just not permitted. It may be a simple thing when we hear things like that. Well, surely that's easy enough, just read the Bible and just do it. But we know, sadly, as we read Scripture, that, well, you could say that they were a bit stupid. We might think they were a bit stupid because they quite clearly disobeyed what God had told them to do. But unfortunately, I can think of times, brothers and sisters, when I would fall into that stupid category, because I have to hold my hand up and I have to say that there are times when I do not go to the Word of God. I get in a flap about things. I worry about things. And quite frankly, at times, I might read something and I don't obey it. But you know, we're called just to be obedient to God. We can't play that grace card that often we may play. Oh, well, I didn't really understand. I was ignorant of this. I didn't really know. Israel and us alike, we can't say that. We can't play that card because we know clearly what God has called us to do. But the wonderful thing about Scripture is that although it is full of commandments and we are called to be obedient, I am so grateful that our salvation is not based on our ability to keep the law. Our salvation is based on the grace of God. And the faith that we have to believe who God is and what Jesus Christ has done, even that faith is a gift from God. But that grace that we receive in that moment that we are saved and taken out of slavery also sustains us. So here's the rub. Israel knew God's law. We know God's law. And we've got to practice it. We've got to stand on it. We've got to obey it. And the reason that we have to do that is because God knows best. He most certainly does. We need to stand firm, be strong and courageous. And you know, we are so blessed, aren't we, with the written word of God. These days we've got it online, we've got it on our phones, we've got it on paper, we've got so many versions it makes your head spin. We really don't have any excuse. You know, in verse 8, God continues to speak to Joshua and he says this. He says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." Now listen to this. "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You know, when we spend time in God's word and we observe it, we experience all the riches that we have in Christ. Our hearts should be stirred to service when we consider his majesty, when we consider what he's done for us. You know, our lives and our churches desperately need to be so different. These days there is such a move towards just becoming more like the unrighteous and taking on the views and the values of the world, that we will just disappear as Christians and as churches unless we stand firm on the word of God. You know, if the Bible says something clearly, don't debate it, don't discuss it, don't question it, just do it. Be courageous in your trust. It may cost us materially, it may cost us physically, and it may cost us spiritually in the battles that we face. But we need to hold fast to that promise that if we are faithful, that God will be with us. You know, in John 8, Jesus told his disciples, he said this. He said, "Look, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it is the Son who makes us free." If we want to know true peace, if we want to know true freedom, then we have to come to Christ. He is the only person that can give that. We are commanded to be strong. We are commanded to be courageous. And if we hide ourselves into the Word of God and just put that into our heart, then we will find success and prosperity. Not in material things. We're not promised, as I've already said, a land flowing with milk and honey. But our God is a promise keeper. And he has said that he will be with us every single step of the way. Our prosperity, as I've said, is found in the riches that we find in Christ. And our success as Christians is measured by how much we obey and trust the Lord. And if we do that, and if we dwell in his word, and we allow the Holy Spirit to work within us, then what will be evident in our lives will be the fruit of the Spirit, won't it? That fruit. Paul's opening remarks in Galatians 5 very much speaks into the theme of this morning's message. He says again, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Don't go back to the old ways. Stand fast. Be strong. Be courageous. Remember that Christ has set you free. And then, of course, later in the chapter, Paul expands what it should be like for a believing Christian who finds his worth in Christ. We should bear the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible now. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit, that is the result of his presence with us, is love, which is unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act when we are waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." If we are in Christ, brothers and sisters, this morning, we have been freed from that bond of slavery. and we are with him always. That is our confidence. That is the reason that we do not need to be afraid or dismayed. So where does this take us? What does this command mean to Joshua and to us? Well, you know, Joshua was a great warrior. He was a great leader. But, you know, it was the Lord who conquered. It was the Lord who gave that confidence to his people. And, you know, when we read through the story of Israel, we know that as long as they obeyed and did what the Lord had commanded, they were blessed. What an enormous blessing that they were given. And the same is true for us. If we were only to trust and obey him, then we can step out in confidence that he will provide all that we need. Who doesn't want peace and joy today in the world that we live in? Who doesn't want to experience the delight of walking with the Lord, with the King of Kings? What a privilege that is. You know, if this morning, if you are craving a peace that cannot be found out there in the world, then come to the Lord this morning. Ask him to flood your soul with peace. If it's the very first time, then ask him for forgiveness. If you come to him with a heart, with a repentant heart, then he will bless you and he will make you your child. And for God's children here this morning, remember that we are not to be afraid no matter what comes our way. We are not to be dismayed. Even when the troubles come in our lives, there will be opposition, there will be difficulties, but the Lord is with us wherever we go. What a confidence that we have in Christ. But remember also that we need to know the battle plan. That's the Word of God. We need to dwell in the Word of God. You know, Israel failed miserably when they turned their back on the Lord. When they didn't listen to instruction, when they attempted to do things in their own strength, it went horribly wrong. Horribly wrong. You know, there are two paths available to us. Psalm 1 tells us there's the path of the ungodly and there's the path of the righteous. The psalmist says this. He said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." Not just in the words, but in who we find within the pages of Scripture. We find Jesus. And he says, if we meditate on it day and night, then we will be blessed. Notice in that psalm how the ungodly gradually go from bad to worse. Firstly, they walk with the ungodly, and then they're standing around with the sinners, and then eventually they sit in the company of the mockers. Their decline is inevitable, but the righteous can delight in the Lord. So as a church, as individuals, as you move forward into the next chapter, meditate on his word, digest it, allow it to saturate your souls, and in it you will find peace and joy, even in the midst of turmoil, regardless of circumstances. The Lord will be all that you need. Be strong in your faith. Be full of courage in all that you do for him, whatever that might be. Do not be afraid when you step out in faith to share the gospel. Do not be dismayed when you are not praised by man or you feel that people just fail you and that you've been wronged. Remember that if we serve in obedience and faith, we can be sure that the Lord is with us wherever we go. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to trust in your word and to live each day by faith. Lord, we thank you that your promises are precious and they are all yes and amen in Christ. Thank you that you have called us to be strong and very courageous and to trust you through all the seasons of life. Even when we fail, Lord, we know that you are with us, that you will never leave us. Help us to know you more and to love you more each day as we meditate on your word. Change us, Lord, into the likeness of our precious Saviour, who died that we might be counted as sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing our final hymn, which is a declaration of who God is. You are the King of glory. You are the Prince of peace. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Son of righteousness. Let's just stand and just worship our Father, shall we? Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Father, we thank you for this time that we have had this morning. Lord, I pray that you would send us out, Lord, from this place today, refreshed and renewed in the knowledge that you are our strength, you are our salvation. Father, help us to be obedient to your command, to be strong and courageous. Lord, help us not to be dismayed or be afraid. And Lord, remind us constantly, Lord, that you are always with us, there to guide us and lead us and to help us. And Lord, may we live in the grace that you have poured into our souls. Lord, may we rejoice in you all days. Amen.